You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I need you to pay attention, because chapter 14 deals with hearts that are troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Because if you believe in God, you got to believe in Jesus. In his house, there are many mansions, many rooms. Some people trying to get to heaven so they can get their mansion in the sky. But it means rooms. There are rooms tailored for you. Glory to God. There's a space for you in heaven, tailored for you, for your comfort, for your joy, for your flight. I am the way, the truth, and the life, verse 6. No man can come to the Father unless he comes by me.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
The Lord spoke to me this summer to teach on prayer, and I'm happy to see all of you coming to the house of the Lord to hear a message on prayer. And you would say, well, Bishop, I have needs, I have bills, I have issues. Yeah, you need incubation, right? But prayer is the answer to most of our problems. If you just talk to God, he'll release something in your life that Merton Clark can give you. God can make you sustainable. Say, I want to be sustainable. God can make you sustainable. You'll make enough money to have fun, tithe, give, and save, and leave an inheritance to your children. Because God can make you sustainable. John chapter 21, verse 15. The word of the Lord reads like this. When they had eaten breakfast, and Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my sheep. Look at verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Special notice to verse 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? More than your stuff, more than these people around you, more than what grabs your attention, more than the things you pour your resources into, more than your conversations and your relationships with these. Lovest thou me more than these? I'm teaching today a message out of the Cultivating Heart Light series, which is dealing with prayer. My purpose is that if you don't pray, you're suffocating spiritually. Because prayer is the oxygen of your spirit. So you are actually drowning and you wonder why you're suffering. If you're not talking to God, no person can fix this. No amount of money can fix it. No situation can fix it. Only God can fix it. God can give you resources galore and you'll still be sitting on the side of your bed and suffocating if you're not developing a prayer life. I have never preached for an entire summer and over 31 years as the senior pastor here on prayer. But this is the year. And I don't know why the candle power of prayer isn't picking up momentum in this season and time when you're watching wars and rumors of wars, nations arising against nations, issues are taking place, and we're still relaxing. We're still relaxing. Mudslides in East China, hundreds of people missing, like the earth opened up just this week. And we're not praying. You think it can't happen in Central Florida? Listen, this world is on a course. It's on a collision course with destruction. You know why? Because nobody wants to do what God is calling us to do. So the earth is groaning. I shouldn't be preaching yet. The earth is groaning, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. And I believe God wants us to pray. Come on, MC Hammer. If we're going to make it today, you must pray. And I believe God wants us to pray so we can let the wrath of God, maybe the wrath of God won't consume the land if an intercessor rises up. Glory to God. So I'm teaching cultivating heart light, getting oxygen to your heart. Light is important to the heart. And today's message, part two, is entitled A Love That Asks. A love that asks. Out of supplication, many of us ask God for things out of need. But God says, if you change this, flip it. Don't ask me things because you have need or because someone broke your heart. I don't want you to come with me in terms of supplication because there's a need or there's pain. I want you to come to me because you love me. And I want you to judge your love. If you judge it, I won't have to. How much do you love the Lord? Your supplication should come out of the love you have for him, not from your needs. Supplication is tied to attitude and disposition and humility when you ask. It is not to proclaim or even pronounce or decree a thing that it should be established. Supplication says, Lord, you know I love you and I have a need. I'm coming to you because I love you. You're the one. You're the one for me. The only one for me. If you don't help me, I won't be helped. Amen. It's more humility and an appreciation for the things that God has versus a demand. I'm your child. You know me. I decree a thing. I am your child, and you know me, but I just want to be close to you. Jesus, help me. And from the subject, A Love, part two, that ask. Father, thank you for your word, and I give you praise for the introduction into this message, and I thank you for the attention of your people. Lord, I pray that every word of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redemption, our Redeemer. We bless you, Lord. I give you praise for clarity of mind and soul. I also thank you for precision. Thank you for divine accuracy as I teach. Let the word fall on good ground. And we will give you praise for the harvest that will come forth after this message. Even now, let the harvest stir now. Activate us into deeper dimensions of supplication and prayer. And I praise you for the atmosphere that's right for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know our custom, it is our custom to do a confession of faith. It should be on the screen here in a moment. Let's go with it. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to believe the word of God, and I choose to listen. That's not enough of us. Come on. Everybody. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me. Come on. My mind is renewed. I can't quit. It shouldn't be hard for me to get everybody in this room. We're all adults. And that is, I do a confession of faith. I don't know why anybody would be looking at me. And I did LASIK surgery, so I can see when your mouth isn't moving. You're just sitting there and letting me quote it. I mean, I know it. It's for your confession. Now, you know we do work here at Truth Revealed. So let's go to work. Bump your neighbor and say, let's go to work. That means I'm going to teach. All you got to do is go to work with me and receive this. But when I ask you to confess, you don't know the power of confession. See, God needs faith to germinate. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. We're not just doing something here. I need you to understand that God wants your faith to germinate. And the way faith is germinating, you got to hear, not just what I say, you will get it quicker to your soul when you say it. So you have to participate. See, I can't even get you to help me. Let's do it again. Participate. Good. Now, when I ask you to do confession of faith next week, I need you to participate. And when we do that as a church, we're going to move into higher ground. I'm going to preach, but you've got to participate. That's why we do our confession of faith. John 21 is a strong foundation for supplication, the prayer of call supplication. And we need a love that asks God for things, not desire or need. And Jesus, I said it this morning, restored Peter to his rightful position after he denied him. And it's very important because he sets the stage for Peter's surge back into the gospel ministry. He brought him back. He didn't allow his service beneath service or his denial of the Christ to hinder him or his failure to hinder him. He wanted Peter to learn a prayer of love. A prayer of love, not just a prayer of need or a prayer of sorrow, even godly sorrow. Right now, we need to show that we love him. And if we love him, we do what he's asking for us to do, which is very, very important to the overall wellness of our faith. It's very important for us to function and to flow this way. And so I want to bring you into a consciousness here in our church where we are all beginning to understand, like, God wants us to pray, but not just to pray, to learn how to pray. And coming out of our school of prayer, the Lord spoke to my heart that we must keep and maintain the open portal. We need to get some things to God, but God needs to funnel some things into us. And when we start worshiping and praying, the portal starts, the circumference of it starts tightening. We want a wide open circumference. We want a wide open chasm before us. We want a space above our heads that's so big that God can get a Mack truck or a train through it. Amen. Glory to God. If God wanted to bless you, do you want him to only be able to give you a pin needle blessing? Or would you want something so large that a train can come through? Well, the portal keeps the train, access for his train of glory to rest in your life. To give you things that you never could get to or get through on your own. And I believe God wants to do something magnificent in the lives of his people. In John 21, as I shared, is one, the last chapter in the book of John. Out of all of the synoptic gospel writers, I would recommend that you read the book of John if you're a believer or a Gentile. If you're not Jewish, we weren't raised in Palestine, you don't know anything about Jerusalem or Tel Aviv. If you know nothing about the mountains of Naphtali or the Golden Heights, if you've never been to the Wailing Wall or the Dome of the Rock where the Muslims have now built a temple, if you've never been to the Garden of Gethsemane, you don't have to go if you read St. John, because St. John paints a picture, each chapter, a different portrait of the man we call the Christ. So in chapter 1, he's the Word made flesh, and the beat goes on. And in chapter 4, he's the fountain of living waters. Glory to God. And in chapter 14, he calms the troublesome heart. Are y'all listening to me? See, what I'm passing on right now, you got to get it in your soul. I need you to pay attention. Because chapter 14 deals with hearts that are troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Because if you believe in God, you got to believe in Jesus. In his house, there are many mansions. Many rooms. Some people trying to get to heaven so they can get their mansion in the sky. But it means rooms. They're rooms tailored for you. Glory to God. There's a space for you in heaven. Tailored for you. For your comfort. For your joy. For your flight. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 6. No man can come to the Father unless he comes by me. Chapter 15, hallelujah. I like chapter 10 too. Like chapter 11, because he's the resurrection and the life. Every chapter paints a different portrait of who Jesus is. And if you want to know who Jesus is, listen to your bishop teach, but also read your book of St. John. And each chapter, you got to write it down, will paint a picture of Jesus until he's memorialized in your soul. And when you're all by yourself, instead of you saying, I'm all alone and I'm sad and I'm going through this or that, he will seep something in you, secrete something in you, like turning water to wine or turning your sour days into a vicarious, intoxicating experience that you have when you drink of this one. Glory to God. And God wants to do something in your life that he's never done before. Help me, Lord, to stay focused. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Remember, write it down. Supplication is not about bringing needs to the Lord. It's first about loving the Lord. We want to bring our knees before the Lord, and that's a different type of prayer. But this is, I'm coming to you because I love you and I trust you. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought him. See, we like to rush to the fact that he heard and he answered me. Oh, he supplied my need. But what about I sought him? What made me seek him? What made me go after him when he's elusive? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. And let him turn. What makes you turn to somebody? Let's exclude I have a need. What makes you turn to somebody? What kind of heartbeat do you need to turn? What's required before you say a word to make you turn and be kind? Touch your neighbor and say, we call that love. Glory to God. And God says, I want you to love me so you will turn to me. I want you to love me so you will seek me while I may be found. I want you to turn to me and love me before you worship. I want you to love me and turn to me before I do something for you. Because if you can get this right, there's nothing he will withhold from you. He told me this morning, he said, if we get this right, we're going to start seeing prayers answered. Because some of us come to God like children come to their parent. I want you to get me a phone. I want you to do so and so for me. That ain't love. Because if they don't, you don't even speak. Listen to what I'm telling you. You want to find out how much they love you, tell them no. I got the money and I'm still not going to do it. I've done enough for you that if I never did anything, I shouldn't have you turning your neck. But you'll see, the love will dry up because it ain't about love, it's about need. God says, I see that among my children. When they come to me, it's not about love. What drives them to me, what makes them turn to me is they have a need. I believe God wants that to shift in our prayer life. When you supplicate, oh, God, that's what we think that, I got to call on him. But do you love him? Because even if you love him, you don't have to call him like that, like desperation. Supplicate. God, I'm hurting. He just wants you to say, I love you. And because I love you and I trust you, I can come to you. That small shift is going to shift things for all of us. Write it down. Prayer and supplication goes beyond. It goes beyond. Prayer and supplication goes beyond simply mentioning a need. God, you know me. I don't ask for much, but I need this one. Write it down. It carries with it a sense of dependency. If you don't help me, there is no help. And I know you love me and I love you because you've always been there for me. It also carries a sense of dependence and urgency. Dependence and urgency. It is a heartfelt appeal, but it starts not with needs. It starts with love. I'm depending on you. Now, here's this is the love question. Most people, you can tell if they love you or not, because after you supply the need, is there any conversation? How long does it take to get a text after supplying a need? So many of us are buying love when the Beatles told us money can't buy you love. I mean, that's right. Can't buy you love. Money can't buy you love. Can't buy you love. That's the Beatles. That's Paul McCartney and John Lennon. They told America and the world that money can't buy you love, but how many of us spend thousands to do so? That's how it's transactional. Glory to God, especially when we're hurting, when we've been hurt, when we're young, we want to buy love. And then the opposite is become so concrete, we don't need nobody. God wants us to depend on him. And he wants us to like each other. Actually, he wants us to love each other. But can you start with a like? I like you. You like me. Let us make a family. Won't you say you like me too? Can we start with a like? Eventually, if we can like, maybe we can love. Do you like God? At least like him. Well, he woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. You were clothed in your right mind. You have all of your senses. I know you think you did it. But you didn't do it. You can't wake yourself up. I know too many that can't. I've been by too many bedsides. They can't. I've gone under anesthesia, and when I wake up, the doctors, the nurse, who, Mr. Clark, you hear me? Do you hear me? Thank God I came out of a dark zone. The last thing I heard is the doctor saying, "All right, we're going to give you some. What is that thing? Anesthesia, right?" And I said, "I'm going to fight it." He said, "Well, no one has ever been able to win that fights this." I said, "Well, I'm going to fight it." He said, "Well, okay, I'm starting to administer it now. Count down from 5, 4." How many of you know if doctors can take you into a zone where you don't feel nothing, they cut on you and you can't feel it. You're laying there dead. Because there's a consciousness that we can go into by medicine that we can't come out of on our own. So we need help. I don't have nothing to thank God for. Well, I don't know what planet you're living on. Man, I almost went south. Ain't he good? Let me go souther. Ain't he good, good? Let me go deep south. Ain't he good, good, good? Yeah, you supposed to say, yeah, he good. Yeah, he's good. Philippians 4:6, and everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, add thanksgiving to that. Sprinkle thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. What I see is that attitude. You got prayer and supplication. That's praying with love. With the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless you, O Lord. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. All attitude. So when you're in supplication, you're not demanding or decreeing. It's a love thing. Praying, loving, thanksgiving.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org.
Awaken Women, remember to join Pastor Sabrina for Women's Sunday School every Sunday at 10 a.m. Youth Church is in full swing. Connect your middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high energy environment where they can be mentored and grow together every Sunday at 8:15 and 11:15 a.m. Join the movement. Come thrive with us. Ladies, it's time to manifest. Join host Pastor Sabrina on September 25th and 26th at TR Main for 2 powerful days of surrendered hearts, disciplined faith, and intentional steps. Hotel accommodation is available at Hampton Inn & Suites. Use group code MNF or mention Manifest Women's Conference for special 2-night rates. Don't wait to secure your spot. Head over to the Truth Reveal app or register online today.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
If you've ever wondered if God can love you, Billy Graham has some really good news for you.
I don't care what you've done and how evil you've been and how hypocritical you've been and how ugly you've been and how harsh and how cutting you've been, he loves you.
But if you decide to follow Jesus Christ, he wants you to commit to him fully.
When Jesus comes into your life, he demands first place. Your money can't be first. Your television can't be first. Even your family can't be first. Nothing can be first. Christ must be first. And every decision you make, you must say, what would Jesus have me do? This is the great question that we're to ask ourselves. You have to choose. You have to decide. This has to be a clear-cut choice.
Are you ready to make that choice? We'd love to talk and pray with you when you call 855-255-7729. That's 855-255-PRAY. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.